Blog Talk Radio.
So very faithless and perverse generation. What do you say? Faithless and what else? What makes a man get perverted with our faith? What's perverted our Christianity? Faithless.
Well, say that profess that God has given you power, love, and a sound mind, and your mind is not sound. You don't have power to overcome your present situation and circumstances.
Now, the devil is always pushing. You can recognize the demons working because they always push to impetuous, immediate action. Don't think, do. And the devil say, if you don't do it now, you'll miss the opportunity. If you don't move now, if you don't sell now, if you don't jump now, it'll be gone.
And the kingdom of God is best expressed by authority and power to cast out devils.
Listen, dear friends, don't forget that little word he said, seek ye first. Come on, that's the secret right there, seek ye first. Seek ye first. Oh, I tell you, the average person said, seek me first. That's it, seek me first. Put me first.
Well, anyone who opposes the kingdom of God and the casting out of devils. Because when we're of God's kingdom, our sole purpose is to destroy Satan's kingdom. Our sole purpose is to cast down Satan's kingdom.
I can tell you whether you won souls or not, whether you get your prayers answered, whether you're happy or not, whether you got a happy home or not, whether you're worth killing in the church or not. I can tell you, if you log your time and let me see how you start your day out, if you grab a cup of coffee and a newspaper and sit down for an hour and let the Bible go begging, brother, you're mixed up in worldliness.
The Word of God said, we're going over to the other side. And in the midst of the Word of God said, we are going over to the other side, the enemy showed up in the storm. And the first thing that the enemy did was challenge those who walk with Christ. Those who eat with him and slept with him and saw the miracle, the signs and the wonders done by him. The first thing that the enemy did was steal the word that they heard right out of their heart and then allow doubt to rise up on the inside of them. And instead of believing what the word of God said, they said, Lord, we perish.
Reading the word that's going to give you faith, that isn't what he's talking about. It isn't just hearing the word's going to give you faith. You've got to open your spiritual ear or eye as you hear or read the word and appropriate by faith. Make it yours.
That'll sober you up. That ought to melt your silly heart. I'm not interested in your feelings and your little silly sentimentality. I'm wondering about your love for Christ and compassion for others. Do you care? I'm asking you one question tonight. Do you love Jesus or do you love this stinking world?
But God wants us to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving ourselves. How many folks are deceived every single week? Going to hear what they call the word and it never once emboldens them or give them a desire or a passion to do the works of Christ.
We want just a bunch of sickly sentimentality, and we want to just fix up sort of a hiding place and a loophole for sinners to say, well, if that old cuss made it in, I can make it in myself.
The kingdom is within you, and the only kingdom that this world is going to understand until the king comes is what they see in us. Because now we are the only creatures that have the ability to walk in darkness and to walk in light.
Oh, God's people, glory!
Shalom, family. Shalom, Israel, fellow Israelites. Hope everybody's doing well. Of course, this is your host tonight, Elder Becker, with this segment, brother segment of Blog Talk Radio. Coming to you on this first day night. Hope everybody's well. Everybody's encouraged. Just waiting for a radio check. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. How am I coming in? I don't see nothing yet. Radio check. Okay. That don't look good. Shalom, shalom, shalom. All right, what's up? All right. All right, looks like the chat went down again. That's what's going on. All right, people are texting me telling me that I gotta try this again. All right, now I'm seeing it. Appreciate your patience. It's just like last week, the chat room for some reason just cuts out, and I'm looking for a report, and the reports are coming in. Thank you very much for that, and whoever just texted me, let me know. Anyway, tonight, this is your host, Elder Becker. Hope you're doing well. Hope you're encouraged. Hope you had a great week. I hope you had a chance to go back and listen to the Shabbat message again yesterday that our shepherd brought us on flesh. Wow, what a formidable foe. What an enemy. What an enemy of our faith, huh? And we carry it with us. Ooh, we don't have to carry its nature, though. I mean, we may walk in the physical, but we sure don't have to carry its deeds anymore. What a beautiful thing it is to, once you're dead in an area, you're dead. And it no longer will affect you or cause you to stray. You know, when the temptation comes, it's you can just walk past it and keep on going, throw the word back at Satan and keep on pressing. There's no doubt that our Elohim is definitely trying to get us ready for his coming. Isn't that what it's all about? I mean, isn't that what it comes down to? I was talking to somebody on the phone today, and I was listening to his speech, and his whole focus was, yeah, he loves the Most High, he loves Yah's ways, but his motivation, you can hear in his words, was to stay out of hell. And yeah, I can understand that, but personally, my motivation is to get ready for my King, because he expects that the people that he's raised up, that he's called, that he's chosen, that he's actually given his privilege to, would do him that honor. As we, you know, when Pastor started out yesterday, he opened up the Romans 12, 1 and 2, you know, acceptable sacrifice. And that should be us. It should be a drive and a striving to actually want to be ready at his coming, and not so much to stay out of hell, but to actually make ourselves spotless at his appearing. I mean, that should be the sign of love. Tonight's topic is, we're going to talk about chastisement. I know we talked about it before. Just something I've been thinking about, meditating on, and I figured this is what Yah had wanted, at least for tonight, for anybody, at least for me to hear. Yah knows I need it first, but hey, welcome all, welcome your runes, you're slowly drifting in. Let's see, you probably all know this already, maybe not, I'm sure the Canadian family knows too, but you know, tonight's Super Bowl, so I'm sure people are, they may or may not be. I watched a little bit of football over the season when the home team, or the team I used to follow, actually had a season until they fell out. So, I don't know. After that, it's just, nah, what's the sense? But anyway, glory to the King. So, it's what, Super Bowl Sunday, I guess they call it. Ah, hallelujah. We're Super Bowling it here tonight, so anyway, we're going to deliver the word of the Most High, Yah willing. So, glory to the King. Again, Brother Paul, appreciate always you posting the definitions and the verses that we, you know, that I bring up, and for help the saints kind of follow along. But with that, we're going to get started. We won't be too long tonight. Again, appreciate y'all being with me tonight. Hope you enjoy the study. It's called Chastisements. You know, you have to. Why is chastisement there? What is its reason? What's its purpose? What's its design? What is it for? I mean, all things work together for our good. So obviously, chastisement, and those of us that understand it and know it, know the significance and the importance of chastisement when it's received. Because in this ministry, you know, we definitely push accountability. We definitely push order. And it takes that behavior, the same one that our Elohim has towards us, about seeing that when we wander, when we stray, when we're in error, when we're under the influence of a spirit, whatever the case may be, when our thoughts are wrong, when our speech is wrong. He has it set up in this kingdom that his people receive this chastisement, and that it's there to correct and put them back on track. So we're going to start out by looking behind the definition in the Greek of chastisement, and this is taken from Hebrews 12, which we're going to go over. And that is the Greek 3809. It's in the Thayer definition. So we're going to be in the Thayer definition tonight, at least for these two next definitions. Okay, chastisement 3809, paideia, something like that. The whole training and education of children, and of course, Yah defines us as his children, which relates to the cultivation of the mind and morals, and employs for this purpose now commands and admonitions, now reproof and punishment. It also includes the training and care of the body. So it's talking about the mind, the spiritual, and the body. Whatever in adults also cultivates the soul or makes it fuller, makes it more well, or makes it more well-rounded, especially by correcting mistakes and curbing passions. Interesting word, curbing the passions. Instructions which aim at increasing virtue to bring out a betterment in us. Chastisement, chastening of the evils with which Yah visits men for their amendment or for their betterment. And it comes from the Greek 3811, which is to chasten. And that's the Thayer definition. Again, in the Thayer, padeo. And chasten means to train children, to be instructed or taught or learn, educated, disciplined, discipled, to cause one to learn, to chastise or castigate with words, to correct, of those who are molding the character of others by reproof and admonition, especially them that have the rule of authority over us. Of Yah, to chasten by the afflictions of evils and calamities, letting things happen on us, to us. I mean, we can definitely see that in the history of our people, how often that the Father brought other nations to actually give a national chastisement, if I can put it that way, or corporate chastisement. To chastise with blows, to scourge, or of a father punishing his son, of a judge ordering one to be scourged. All right, Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5. Through 11, Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 11. Glory, glory, glory. All right, starting at verse 5. And you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. And have you forgotten? Paul is reminding him, have you actually forgotten the things that were there to edify you, as we would edify a child? My son, despise not thou the chastening of the master of Yahweh, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Again, this is despise not the thing that's going to cultivate your soul. Despise not the thing that's going to mold your character. Despise not that correction that's there to get you back in line. despise not the instruction or the training, the thing that's there to increase the virtue, to make you more well-rounded, more whole. Nor faint when thou art rebuked, when Yah exposes a fault in you, when Yah shows you a place where you're failing and falling short, when thou art rebuked of him, for whom Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth. These are the souls that he's after, the ones that he's actually putting the effort in, putting the time into, to actually help get them right, help bring them to a better state of perfection and purity. For whom Yahweh loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. He cultivates them. You know, think of it in the matter of planting a garden. You put the seed in there, and as it springs into a sprout and continues to grow, as you cultivate, you add to it, give it fertilizer, give her everything that it needs to have life, and remove everything from it that would might seek to cause it death, weeds and, you know, excessive, you know, maybe too much heat or anything, that sort of thing, you know, to actually cultivate, to actually, so it'll bring forth fruit. And scourge every son whom he receiveth. And if you endure chastening, if you actually are able to understand, embrace, and grasp what is being put out there for you for correction, admonishment, instruction in righteousness. Pastor did on that wonderful, if you don't have Patreon, definitely you better consider getting it, and don't delay. Beautiful platform, and we all know that have seen it, that have watched it, that are actually part of the Patreon family in Straightway and Pastor Dowell's channel, that he actually went and talked about many things when it comes to the last video about who is Israel. If you endure chastening, Yah dealeth with you as sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not? But if you be without chastisement, if you be without literal correction, the ability to receive an instruction given to you, without the ability to receive direction, reproof, rebuke, admonishment, everything that there again is to cultivate the soul in you, to bring you to a better state of perfection. If you're without that, don't want to receive it. Whereof all are partakers, so it's across the entire spectrum, from the greatest to the least. Then are ye bastards, or it would be in the same similitude as going across the street and rebuking a son of another family or another a child that belongs to somebody, you know, in a literal sense that isn't of your own household, your own tribe, that has nothing to do with you or your customs or your laws or your statutes, because they're not going to be able to receive it because they don't understand it. It doesn't apply to them. Then you are, you bastards, and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh. So they're bringing it from the spiritual sense and actually giving a literal experience or literal understanding of what we actually experience growing up in our lives, so we can better relate to what the writer is saying here. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence because we felt the whip, man. We felt the sting and the pain, the literal physical pain and sting of them bringing the lash or the rod. Or if you listen to Pastor, in his case, you know, his dad was, Elder Dowell was not slack when it came to harsh correction. And it definitely will leave a lasting memory, that's for sure. My father, after the flesh, he wasn't all that critical when it came to, he handed out the chastisement, he handed out the punishment or the literal physical correction, but it was, you know, more towards the rural farmer Minnesota mentality, at least the ones I knew in his character, which was a lot softer than others I've heard, but he still brought it though. So anyway, but we had fathers of our flesh which corrected us, and we gave them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection or be in obedience to unto the Father of spirits and actually live? Actually give him a greater reverence, a greater honor, and a greater love for actually helping us to see where we're in error, where we're falling short. For they verily or truly for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, because you're only a child in their house for so long, but in the kingdom sense, in Yah's nation, Yah's house, that you're a child up until, you know, the day that you reach perfection and get up out of here. For they truly for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure. And what's interesting, you look behind that word, it's actually meaning that for them to actually actually meant for them to, you know, be in good reputation. They were actually, so they maintained a good status in front of their neighbors and community to actually show that they were doing that which was required to keep their household in line. So it was actually for, you know, their own sake, their own reputation, so they weren't spoken badly of, like they're lacking in taking care of their house. This is very important in that time and place, as it should be now. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holies, actually to make us better, to make us whole, to make us stronger, to cultivate the soul. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grief. And if you've, I mean, everybody I know that's in the Israelite way had better have experienced it. I mean, sometimes it can get, you know, you're like pastor said, for years and years and years, he says he'd rather be physically beat with a 2x4 than have to endure the chastening or live through, which we're going to, but, you know, feel that rod of correction coming from the Most High, you know, in through his spirit, through the, you know, the reproof, the rebuke, the correction by the Ruach HaKodesh, by somebody else giving the word to us and hearing and stinging in our hearts. But grievous, nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth peaceful fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Those that actually allow this, these things to come in. Because what is the one thing, especially in this prideful, arrogant generation? I think Proverbs was chapter 30 talks about there's a certain type of generation that's going to be coming. And they don't honor their mother or father. They speak sharply with their mouths. Oh, help me, Jesus. I lost my train of thought. Nevertheless, afterward it yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised, or they actually allow it to take place. And they harden not their necks, or stiffen their hearts, or stiffen their necks when it comes. There's actually there to, okay, that's what I was talking about getting to, is that, I mean, have you ever been, have had to receive correction, even in a natural sense, in a worldly sense, and you had trouble? I mean, it hit you the wrong way. The automatic impulse is to stand up and defend yourself. Yod give a grace unto the humble, but he resists the proud. And when, because it's in man to not want to be corrected. It's in man not, even though they say yay, a, and amen, or amen, the fact of the matter is that if you believe that you're in the right, and somebody with that you can see, that has discernment, that knows even according to the word that you ought to place an error, and that you need some, they have enough love in them to approach you to actually bring that chastisement or bring that correction to help cultivate you, make you more rounded. And because of this pride in man, yeah, I mean, you ever feel that, ah, that's not for me, man, you got this all wrong. Man, you talking about somebody else. Let me explain my position here, because I don't think you understand what you're talking about. How do I know? I've been challenged with it too. So, man, all things common to man. If you say that you haven't, that's some type of character you got. But I'll admit that even through my years, like, that wasn't me. No, that was somebody else. Let me tell you about it how it should be, but. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. He loves me. I know that. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. Proverbs 3, 11 and 12. Ooh, it's hot in here. Brothers built a good fire earlier today, and the heat's still in. You know, I should open one. You got 66 down here today. It's like, wow, check that out. Man, it's 60. It's supposed to be 72 in a few days. I will take it. Hallelujah. All right, Proverbs chapter 3, 11 and 12. And this is where the writer of Hebrews actually took this from. It's already written about, and the direction was already there way back thousands of years before that. My son, despise not the chastening of the master of Yahweh, neither be weary of his correction. For whom Yahweh loveth, he corrected. What the satisfaction should be there. There should be a great humility that enters into us. There should be that we know that when the chastisement's coming, when the correction is coming, when the admonishment, when the direction, when the pointing out of the error is coming, that it's actually Yah's love being extended to us instead of rather that somebody's trying to cause us personal injury or destroy our souls. And again, that takes that transforming, that renewing of the mind that we heard right away from Pastor Dalsey brought up in the Sabbath service yesterday about the flesh, the first two verses, Romans 12:1 and 2. For whom Yahweh loveth, he correcteth, even as the father of the son in whom he delighteth. Yeah, he delighteth in the son that can receive the correction, but it's a sorrow of heart to those that turn their shoulders, stiffen their neck. All right, the word chastening in the Hebrew, in Proverbs 3:11, is the Hebrews 41:48. This is in the Strong's, Brother Ugly. And it means, let's see, morsal. I'm not too good at my Hebrew. I got trouble with English words, for Pete's sake. These other languages. Okay, it's from the Hebrew 32:56. It properly chastisement, figuratively reproof, warning or instruction, also restraint. Wow, it's put out there to help you restrain yourself from going back. You know, there's an old expression that somebody, when you see somebody in a bad way and they can't stop, even though people keep telling them that, man, you're in error, you need to snap out of it and see what you're doing here. And the old expression, man, somebody need to take the shovel out of their hand because they just keep digging a bigger and bigger hole. But anyway, restraint, bond, chastening, chastisement, check, correction, discipline, doctrine, instruction, rebuke. So despise not the reproof, despise not the warning of Yahweh, despise not his instruction, despise not. And you're not going to receive the strength of the word until it's actually preached, until it's actually ministered directly to the hearers. I mean, we can read it, but the reading of it never, ever will give us the same type of impact at actually hearing it and let it coming into our ears, because faith cometh by hearing. All right, Revelation 3:19. And it appears that my chat room went down again. All right, let me try this again. I hope it's not a three strikes and you're out thing. All right, now we're back up again. All right, glory to the King. Back up again. All right, Revelation 3:19. As many as I love, the ones that are counted to be loved, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. So this requires an action. Be zealous, be in a quick, be in a hurry, you know, bust down the gates, get to your prayer closet when it's coming, and repent, because it's there to show you something, obviously, that you can't see, that I can't see, that's going on in us. No, that's what it was when Pastor did that video on Patreon. There was a lot said in there as far as, completely as direction, instruction, even some things in there that, honestly, that I had to relook at myself after hearing them, because nobody should ever get comfortable, ever. I mean, it's all about continually yearning, being zealous to grow, and being zealous to repent. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 through, 22 through, that's a big one. 22 through 33, so 11 verses. All right, how long, ye simple ones, will you love simplicity? Just have it, da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da-dee-da, skipping down the road, just going on, life is but a care. Merrily, merrily. God, help me, Jesus. Anyway, you know what I'm saying. There's no impact. It's just like you're there, but it doesn't mean anything. And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. So you can't receive correction instruction, some way to make you better and cultivate, you're lining up with a fool. Turn you at my reproof, meaning repent. We just heard that, repent. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you, but it's conditional. The pouring out of the spirit and having to cultivate you is only going to come, or cultivate you is only going to come by turning at the reproof or the instruction, the correction, in order to grow. But I have called and you have refused. A lifelong historical point about Israelites, those that have the spirit of truth and know the spirit of error. Because how often is Yah called? How many times can you think in your own life where it took a continual beating before it actually brought you to your knees and you could, oh my God, you know. And then afterwards, you should feel like crap because it shouldn't take Yah, somebody that loves you that much, to put that much into you to get you actually to turn, okay? Actually get you to repent, to understand the error of your way. But, you know, a proud people again. Man, pride will be one's ruin and bring you to destruction, bring you low. Oh, my gosh, spirit of humility. Bless your holy name, Father. But I have called and you refuse, and I stretched out my hand and no man regarded. We read that all the way through the history and the Tanakh of our people, that again, when Yah's people got errant, when they went into error, when they went far from him, he would send them to prophets to try to get them back in line. And then when that didn't work, I mean, he would just bring the thunder of other nations on. And finally, we'd get a few righteous to start crying out and start getting Yah's ear back in again. But, you know, it's just like, how much does this take? You know, I can actually know why it would grieve Yah's heart to continually try to pull us back. That's such an extension of love that is unfathomable in our minds. I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it, not all my counsel and none of my reproof, those that he sent, those that had the rule of authority over us, all that counsel. It was just refusal to hear. How many times in this ministry over the years that we have watched that happen, that you can see this calamity is just about to come on to somebody. The warning's coming out. Yah's even there extending his love over the pulpit, you know, by the words of our shepherd. You know, get back in line, you know. And it's you know, on a platform almost of begging. That's not where Yah's going to go, but he's you know, pleading. Come on, this is for your soul. I don't want – he has no pleasure in the death of the wicked. He don't. So even that, he's extending it out. But we watch them fall away, right? That just no amount of pleading is going to be enough. And they have just put their own souls in a snare. I have stretched out my hand in no man regard, but you have said not all my counsel and would none of my reproof. The thing that if you were actually receive, he would pour out his spirit unto you. And also, I will laugh at your calamity. Why? Why would Yah laugh at our calamity? I will mock you in your fear. Because he tried. I mean, sometimes rather than allow yourself to get swallowed up by grief, you have to turn the table the other way and say, hey, you know, man, I tried to tell you. And now you're calling out, and now you're in a desperate state, you know, for whatever reason. Something just entered into your head and your mind, and it's like, oh my God, I can see what's happening now. And then it's sometimes it's too late. But Yah has extended some great mercy to many people, that is for sure. Glory be to his name. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. And why? Why is all this stuff, the heavens going to become brass? Why is all this stuff going to happen? Because that they hated knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Most High, or fear His correction, His admonition, His direction, His instruction, His reproof. They would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Closed up their ears. Therefore shall they eat the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Therefore Yah gave them over to a reprobate mind. For the turning in the way of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. These are obviously people that think and believe that they know more than the Most High. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell in safety, and shall be quiet from the fear of it. Just simply turning and listening and repenting when you know that the Most High is dealing with you, however it's coming. I mean, even a child can set us straight if we have enough ears to hear and eyes to see and a heart to perceive who Yah actually sends in the midst of us. It's quite a humbling experience. Let me see. All right, it's after the bottom of the hour again, and that came on quickly. So we're going to take a ministry break, and the possibility that somebody listening might be new to the ministry. I see we got most of the old hats in here, but glory to the King. We still need to hear it so we can get in our heads to pass it on to somebody else, you know. Hang on, we'll be right back.
Shalom, this is Sister Wenda. I hope that all of you are enjoying the broadcast that you're listening to right now. We appreciate each and every last one of you, our faithful listeners and supporters of the Straight Way Truth radio broadcast. We try to make sure that we do our due diligence and do our best to ensure that you have the best broadcast, as well as the truth, coming to you in the hour that we're living in right now. If you would like to help us in this endeavor, your offering will be greatly appreciated in the work of the Ministry of the Most High Yah. Our mailing address for your gift, offering, or letter of support is Charles Dowell Jr. That's Charles Dowell Jr. And Dowell is spelled D-O-W-E-L-L. 506 Ellington Drive. Ellington is spelled E-L-L-I-N-G-T-O-N. P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee. And Lafayette is spelled L-A-F-A-Y-E-T-T-E 37083. Again, our mailing address is Charles Dowell Jr., 506 Ellington Drive, P.O. Box 32, Lafayette, Tennessee 37083. If you would like to contact us by way of phone, the country code is 1, area code 615-688-3025. That's 1-615-688-3025. You may leave a message there, and be the Father's will, we will do whatever we can to try to return your message. It is our hope and our prayer that as you continue to listen to the Straightway Truth Ministry, and as you apply the teachings of this ministry, that you are finding peace and growth within you, your family, and life as well. Please tell others so that the truth may also have an impact and touch others' lives so that they may enjoy the benefits of the truth of Jesus Christ just like we all are. Shalom, the King is coming.
Shalom, the King is... How many times has that phrase been repeated? It should be repeated continually, every day, all the time. Bless you, Sister Wanda. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, we're back to the study again on chastisement. And we're going right back into it. So Jeremiah chapter 10, verse 23 and 24. Jeremiah 10, 23 and 24. Glory to the King. All righty, let's see. Oh, Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Jeremiah, man, he's talking, man, I know I got problems going on in this life, and I know that I can't get direct my own path in a righteous way. I need help. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps, because he's born in sin, shaping in iniquity. He's operating from an evil nature before conversion, and then when after conversion, he's got some trying to destroy the one nature and you know, sanctify the inner man. So there's a fight going on there. Oh, Yahweh, correct me, but with judgment, not in thine anger. There's a plea. That's a smart way to pray. I'm telling you, that's a smart petition right there. Oh, judge me, Father, but not in thy anger. That's a good one to take in your prayer closet and be sincere. Correct me, O Yah. Show me my wicked ways, but please not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Because, oh boy, who would want to feel the anger of the Most High? Who can stand before it? Hallelujah. Glory to the King. All right, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. Deuteronomy 8, verses 5 and 6. Thou shalt also consider in thine heart that as a man chasteneth his son, so the Most High, thy Elohim, chasteneth thee. Again, bringing the example. So as fathers and mothers chastening and chastising and bringing that constant state of correction to our children through their lives, to our grandchildren, to their lives, you know, as they grow, as we help nurture them in their growth, consider that in your heart. Then you'll help better understand what Yahweh's intent is. If that can always be at the forefront of your mind, what you did to love, the display of love you had for their children, trying to keep them out of dangerous situations, life-threatening, life-changing situations, in those roads that lead to a perilous way. Same with the Father. It's the same demonstration here. Therefore, thou shalt keep the commandments of Yahweh the Elohim to walk in his ways and to fear him. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 20 through 23. Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. Man, you got to know Solomon knew something about all this. Whew. As often as he talks about correction and all the other things that have to do with it. I'm having trouble with this chat room tonight. I don't know what is the deal with this crazy thing. Let me see if this gets it up again. I don't know. I can't tell. All right, glory to the King. I hope everybody can still hear me. I haven't gotten a text saying you can't, so I'm assuming that everybody can. But continuing on, Proverbs 6, 20 through 23. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. Why? What's the reason for this? What is the reason for this? All right. Can anybody let me know? Am I still broadcasting? Hey, one of y'all faithful got my number. Send me a text. Oh, it has been having issues. Yes, it has been. Sister Zakina, thank you. All right. Glory to the King. All right. We're still on the air. All right. I'm not too tech savvy, so. Glory to God. Appreciate it, y'all. All right, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. All right, thank you. I'm getting texts too, so appreciate the help. Okay. Bind them continually upon thine heart and tie them about thy neck. What's the reason for it? Why is this necessary? Why is this admonition there? Why is this direction there? When thou goest, it shall lead thee. Always something in a righteous state, continually with each step. Remember, Jeremiah just got done saying that It's not in a man that walketh to direct his steps. Because they don't know where the hell he's going. They have to have something righteous that's leading them. And so you have the father's commandment, the law of the mother. You know, put them, tie them, embrace them, hold them. Why? Because when you go in, on in life, it shall lead thee. When thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou wakest, it shall talk with thee. It's constantly there to keep you in a state of righteousness. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, the father and the mother. And reproofs of instruction are the way of life. That's just the way it's going to be. I mean, whatever arena you're in, even in, you know, the heathen out there, they have to deal with it when they're on the job because they're being subservient and subjected to the one that's actually giving the paycheck. So, you know, you ever have a coworker before and they get their ass chewed nicely and, boy, they just about go off the deep end? That's when people, you get the going postal thing, right? So, yeah, you got to be careful. You got to be careful. Proverbs chapter 29, verse 1. Proverbs 29, verse 1. He that is often reproved, harden his neck. He that being often reproved, I need that key verb in there. He that being often reproved, hardeneth his neck, shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Why? Being often reproved, won't receive it, won't receive the chastisement, won't receive the correction. And what's the end of it? What's the end of the state of somebody actually trying to see you be better, trying to help cultivate your soul? I mean, there's self-reproof, there's self-chastisement, no doubt. And if you see somebody that's sincerely, when they're in error and they're genuine, reproving, rebuking themselves, I mean, I've seen people get so critical and so get on themselves so badly, it almost looks like they're going to get swallowed up in sorrow. You almost got to like intervene. Come on, brother. I know, man, you're hurting, but, you know, don't beat yourself up. You know, Yah, he's quick to forgive, okay? But don't do it again, kind of thing. Anyway, the word reproved in this verse, Psalm Proverbs 29:1, is the Hebrew 84:33. And it's from the Hebrew 8:31-98. The word reproved here means chastisement. So he that being often chastised harden his neck. Figuratively by words, most commonly by words, correction, refutation, proof, even in defense, argument, chastise, correction, reasoning, rebuke, reproof. Come, let us reason together. Please try and hear me. If I can bring you down in a calm state, maybe, you know, the servant of the Lord must be meek. He must be gentle. Now you can see why, because sometimes people are so in a state where that Satan's got them, that they're opposing. What is that? How does that verse go? Is it Titus or Timothy? Oh, help me, Jesus. Age and time. You know, unfortunately, things start to slip, but the ones that Satan takes captive at his will. Anyway, glory to the King. All right, Proverbs chapter 5, verses 1 through 13. Proverbs 5, verses 1 through 13. All right. Starting in verse 1. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding. I want you to pay close attention. I'm about to tell you something. I'm about to give you some nuggets. That thou mayest regard discretion, that thy lips may keep knowledge. If you're willing to bow your ear to understand, and if you're actually going to attend to somebody that has a greater wisdom, knowledge, and understanding than you might have. For the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb, and her mouth is smooth in oil. There's that tempter on the side, the one that's going to give you something easy, something that is designed to pull you away, something that isn't going to take as much action, much concentration and focus. Again, the easy way, the way of the fool. But her end is bitter as wormwood. Up front, the presentation is that it's less resistant. You know, it's that thing submitted in the mind that you're all right, that everything's good, that, you know, you're doing fine, that, you know, you got the world by the toes, you know, sort of thing, and that you're on top of the world. But here in verse 4, it clearly telling you what the end of all this delusion is. It's bitterness, as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on hell. The easy path, the one where there's no correction, the one there's no admonition, the one there's the refusal to actually hear anything that's a betterment to help cultivate the soul. Lest thou shouldest ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou that canst not know them. Yah's ways are immovable, they're solid, they're concrete. These are the paths of least resistance. They require all choice, the personal choice of the easiest choice, and not paying attention to go through the difficult times, the things that cause us to endure, to overcome. Hear me now, therefore, O ye children, depart not the words of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the door of her house. You know, there's the different ways of looking at the strange woman from here, in the spiritual sense, natural, but you can actually look at it as a way of being submitted back to the nature of the old man, because it's a common place that can bring this false comfort and false peace. Don't go back to that old home, that old way of life. Lest thou give thine honor unto others and thy years unto the cruel. Lest strangers be filled with thy wealth and labors be in the house of a stranger. Everything will come to naught, fall down, and be totally consumed. And thou mourn at the last when thy flesh and body are consumed. And say, how have I hated instruction? And my heart despised reproof. It's going to come to the end of a fool's life. All the way through life, he disregarded all these things. How many? We just saw this echoed in another proverb, that all of a sudden it's going to come when Yah's going to mock you in the day of your calamity, right? Laugh at you. And it's going to. The problem with this type of attitude, the ones that receive no correction, receive no instruction, continue on a continual basis, is that the end of this thing is not good. The outcome is death. And the way it looks, the impossibility to actually get life back again. So, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to them that instructed me? A refusal. Yah gave us a will, and everybody, because we have that will, we're going to stand before the Most High, based on what we did on our, in this life, according to our will and our desire. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 17, Proverbs 10 to 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Why? Because he's in the way of death. Again, it'll come to naught, come to ruin. The instruction, again, is to receive the love of the instruction, the love of the direction, the love of the correction, the love, always remembering what, why it's coming. It's never there to cause an injury or personal harm. I mean, it's going to buffet the flesh a little bit, sure, because the flesh of the old nature don't like it, but there's a common scripture or a common verse that I've heard used over the years, but it's never really been practiced. But, you know, suffer yourself to be defrauded. So if you're misrepresented about something, you know, I get that's on another topic, but it just popped my head. So can you suffer yourself to be defrauded? Are you going to defend yourself? Even if somebody's giving you a proof or a construction, they're believing that you're in need of it, are you going to take it like a wise man or a wise woman and understand that it's all there for the good, okay? I mean, in years, my first, oh gosh, 10 years here, 10, 12 years, I guess, I was a father, what in the world, almost in tears. It was like I was constantly in some type of situation that I didn't want to be in, altercation that I didn't care to be there. I was like, and it took me forever to figure out that everything that happens in life is there for your learning instruction. There, I had to take something out of everything, even though I wasn't the one that perpetrated it or caused the foul. For some reason, I was pulled into it. So it took me, you know, like, what in the world, you know, looking up with the owl with this dumb look on your face, like the why thing, you know, cut your hand out. Why me? Because I'm trying to show you something, dummy, basically what it come down to. Oh, glory to the King. Proverbs 12, verse 1. Whoso loveth instruction loveth knowledge, but he that hateth reproof is brutish or stupid or foolish. Proverbs 15:10. Proverbs 15:10. Correction is grievous unto him that forsaketh the way, and he that hateth reproof shall die. I mean, one thing is you know, it's easier, or it makes, you know, we're more likely to give respect and honor to somebody that's in a position of authority, bringing reproof and respect, or bringing reproof, direction, instruction, correction, even if it's coming off verbally harsher. The intention, love, is still there. And, you know, it causes people to stand up and listen. I mean, if you're on the Brothers Marco Polo thing, there's been a whole lot of correction on that, and it come down, you know, especially with Elder Rufus and Pastor Dow. Yeah, it comes down, and those that are wise will hear. But what I'm getting to is that, yeah, we can receive that from somebody that's been ordained into a position of authority, because we expect them, because by virtue of them having more experience, more wisdom. But what happens when it's, you know, brother to brother or sister to sister? I mean, can we receive it as easy? Can we take it as humbly easy? Can we actually hear and stop and listen and say, perhaps they may be right? Again, what if it's a child coming up to you and you know, because children don't talk back. So I was raised in an age where they don't talk to it. You know, they don't talk back to adults. It's, you know, you are to be quiet and listen and learn and not, you know, intrude on the adult's conversation or interrupt. But, you know, so I have to be careful of that. So if I hear something from a child, and I have over the years, it's like, oh, okay, man, that makes sense, you know, and just leave it at that. But, yeah, can we actually be able to humbly receive the same type of correction? I had a brother here, that Brother Juan, as a matter of fact, he's in Colombia. Man, he's like, I could tell he was disturbed about something that was going on here, right? And something he actually saw that he was disappointed that I wasn't seeing for myself or didn't have an understanding, because a lot of times people can see that you're doing something wrong and they're wondering, they're getting themselves miserable because they can see that you're in the wrong way, but you can't correct yourself, you understand? That's why we have accountability one to another. But he finally comes up to me, he's all nervous. I said, bro, wow, what's up, bro? I mean, what's on your mind? He finally told me what it was, and I'm like, man, brother, you know what? I didn't even realize that. Man, thank you. I appreciate that. You're exactly right. And, brother, just because, you know, I was an elder then, I said, you know, I understand your intent. You know, it wasn't there to injure me, but you saw a situation. I just needed some, you know, obviously that I wouldn't give a full attention to, and he helped open up my understanding. I wouldn't fault him for that. Oh, hell no. He didn't come to me in the wrong way. It wasn't like he was trying to lord over me, remove me out of my position. He would just humbly trying to address something that he saw as inappropriate, so or unnecessary. And hey, thank you. And he's like, ah, you know, he about fell out. Bless you, Brother Juan. I actually talked to him last week on Facebook Messenger. Good to hear from my brother. Let me see. Proverbs 15:31-33. Proverbs 15:31-33. The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. You have no care, no concern, so why should anybody else have me? If you don't have, you have to, you know, we have to love you more than you hate yourself. You heard Pastor Dallas say that 1,000 times. This is perfect. This is a perfect verse to demonstrate that. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. Remember, this is all in the realm of chastisement. This all has to be able to be better, become better, to grow. The fear of Yahweh is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. All right, Job chapter 5, verse 17 through 27. Job 5:17 through 27. This thing is just continually going crazy. All right, glory to the King. All right, starting in verse 17. Behold, happy is the man whom Yah correcteth. I mean, you're worthy of Yah's attention. You ought to be happy about that all by yourself. And thank you, Father. You can still see that I'm here and you still love me. Therefore, despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. Man, because the intent is there to make you better. That's Yah's love, a demonstration of his love. For he maketh sore and bindeth up, he woundeth and his hands make whole. He shall deliver thee in six troubles, yea, in seven there shall no evil touch thee. Well, how is this going to be accounted, that you're going to be delivered and no evil touch thee? Well, because that man found out when he actually received the chastening and the correction of Yah, that he was happy to know that all these things weren't going to affect him. That's the happiness, knowing that he was covered and protected from these seven things that aren't going to touch thee. In famine, he shall redeem thee from death, and in war from the power of the sword. Man, this is all preservation of life. Thou shalt be hid from the scourge of the tongue, neither shalt thou be afraid of destruction when it cometh. Look at all these fears removed out of the way just by simply being rooted and grounded in Yah's love through correction, instruction, admonition, reproof, rebuke. And destruction and famine thou shalt laugh, neither shalt thou be afraid of the beast of the earth. I mean, complete removal, perfect love casteth out all fear. This is a demonstration of perfect love, is it not? For thou shalt be in the league with the stones of the field, and the beasts of the field shall be at peace with thee. And thou shalt know that thy tabernacle shall be in peace. That's your house, man. That's where the Holy Spirit dwells, and it'll be in peace. And thou shalt visit thy habitation and shall not sin. Thou shalt know also that thy seed shall be great. What's following after you, because you've been the example of the father figure, of a parent, to your children, about how you were actually demonstrated the ability to receive Yah's love. And you can pass it on, and they can see that you're a parent of wisdom, a parent of wholesome nature, a parent of humility. And then offspring as the grass of the earth, and also somebody that definitely has a strong constitution, serious, devout, sincere. Thou shalt come to thy grave in a full age, like the shock of a corn cometh in his season. And this is all stemmed on the fact that somebody that actually embraced Yah's chastisement and his correction. Lo, this, we have searched it, so here it is, hear it, and know thou it for thy good. All right, going into the Apocrypha, the Book of Wisdom. The Book of Wisdom. Chapter 12, verse 20 through 24. Chapter 12, 20 through 24. For if thou didst punish the enemies of thy children and the condemned to death, with such deliberation, giving them time and place whereby they might be delivered from their malice. And that's talking about the enemies, trying to deliberate, trying to reason with them, actually giving them a time and a place, actually, taking some time out of your life and say, just so they can be delivered out of their ill will. With how great circumspection didst thou judge thine own sons? I mean, if you can do it for your neighbor down the road and see that he's definitely in an error and he's in wrong, you do that on the person at your workplace or whatever the case, the member. I mean, there's those of us that, you know, still may have connection with natural family members. Well, it should never, as a righteous light, as a vessel, it should never be impeded from actually giving somebody, those that say that they're of your own family, your own, you know, those that you know after the flesh, words of admonishment. I mean, if it's a parent, you obviously do it in a correct way as well. But I think you all understand that you're not withholding even from those that are without. With how great certain when it's necessary, dost thou judge thine own sons, unto whose fathers thou hast sworn and made covenants of good promises? Therefore, whereas thou dost chasten us, thou scourgest our enemies 1,000 times more. So there's the comparison to be looked at here. I mean, we're getting it lightly, not compared to the ones that are around us, our enemies. They're getting lumped, man. They're getting thumped. To the intent that when we judge, we should carefully think on that goodness. It's all here to show us the mercy that Yah is bestowing upon us. And when ourselves are judged, we should look for mercy. Man, somebody that judges with mercy and brings a hammer without it, ooh boy, woe be unto them. Man, that should be a fear in the forefront of everybody's mind. It should be, if it is done in love continually, absolutely. Oh boy, Brother Steve got wisdom question. I hope I've done this before, you know, because I hope I'm in the right one. Yeah, the Book of Wisdom, the Wisdom of Solomon in the Apocrypha. Oh, glory to the King. Well, anyway, I got it somewhere. Ah, jeepers. But it's right. I'll finish reading it. Wherefore, whereas men have lied, lived dissolutely and unrighteously, thou hast tormented with their own abominations. For they went astray very far in the ways of error, and held them for gods, which even among the beasts of their enemies were despised, being deceived as children of no understanding. All right, back to Psalms 39. Psalm 39:11. When thou with rebukes does correct man for iniquity, thou makest his beauty to consume away like a moth. Surely every man is vanity, Selah. Basically saying that, you know, because when somebody believes that they're right in their own eyes and they're living righteously, and then their neighbor comes along and actually shows them the error of the ways, you strip off this outer adorning that people tend to wear when they think that they're in the best state of life when actually they're in error. So it uncovers, shows them, actually was able to show the corruption rather than the lying beauty that they've immersed themselves or believe themselves to be in, you know, in a righteous state. All right, back in the Wisdom of Solomon, in the Apocrypha again. A tale out of season is music in mourning, but stripes and correction of wisdom are never out of time. All right, we're going to finish up in 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's going to skip around. So chapter 2, verses 12 through, this is a big one, 12 through 26. Then we're going to go to chapter 3, I think. And the reason I decided to include this, and I don't know what happened to Brother Ugly, if the co-host dropped off or what, or if I did something, but things aren't getting posted, so I don't know. Technical glitch. And if you are Brother Ugly posting him, my apologies. It might be my chat room is kind of jacked up at the end, but we're going to keep reading. And the reason I'm going to bring this up in 2 Samuel, it's about the priest, the high priest, Eli, and his two nasty little sons, and the fact that because he didn't bring the hammer to them, something very tragic happens at the end of their lives here, at the end of the story here. So, and a great deal of curses come with it. So because he didn't have enough love to actually intercede in their lives and represent Yah instead of his own family, this is what's going to happen. So we'll read through it. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Most High, even though they were in Israel. They were Israelites from the tribe of Levi, of the sons of Levi. they didn't even know Yah. They may have kept his commandments. They may have done whatever, put on the outward adorning, whatever the case may be, had a representation that they were part of Israel, but clearly it says they knew not Yahweh. They were clearly the sons of Belial. Yeah, I don't know what happened to Brother Paul. He might have technical difficulties on his end. I don't know. We're just going to keep going forward, though. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, now this is the priest's custom, okay? It doesn't have nothing to do with Yahweh's commanded ways. The priest's servant came while the flesh was seething or boiling with the flesh of three teeth in his hand. Now they're going through the story explaining the nastiness of what was going on while these men were in the service of the Most High in the position of the priesthood or in the temple. Or in Shiloh in the tabernacle. And as he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, all that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for themselves. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came there. I mean, this was a nonstop practice. This was blatant. This was open. And okay, now we're back on. It's 1 Samuel chapter 2, 12 through 20 something. All right, glory to the King. So this was a practice that was being commonly an invented custom that actually an invention, a wicked invention by those in the time of the priesthood in servitude to the Most High in the tabernacle in Shiloh in the wilderness. Also before the burnt fat, the priest servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest. He will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. So now they've even been more, trying to even steal more of Yah, the sacrifice and offering is supposed to go to the Most High first and foremost. And if any man said unto thee, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. You're going to comply whether you like it or not, whether you know that it's something that shouldn't be done or not. I'm still going to get mine first before it even gets offered. They totally forsook. They totally put blocked out of their mind. The ways of the Most High, they totally disregarded and lost all fear of the position that they had been put in and the honor of that position. It was totally meant crap. It meant nothing. They were actually rubbing it, trying to rub it back in Yah's face and using their position in a wicked way, an evil way. All right, verse 17. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Most High, for men abhorred the offering of the Most High. They actually hated the thing that was due to the Father, that gratitude, the thing he commanded for Israel. He counted it a detestable thing and actually showed their despise. Verse 22, now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and of course those were the temple whores, the temple harlots. And he said unto them, why do you do such things? For I hear of your evil dealings by all the people. So finally Eli's, I mean, he's how old is this and how long has this been going on? And now he's finally gonna, people were obviously trying to keep being kept from him, or he was blindly or putting a blind eye to it. But when it came on his doorstep, finally it sounds to me like he had to actually reckon with it. Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. You make the Most High's people to transgress. So here Eli is running down a list as a father with his sons of all the garbage that they're doing. He knows he knows full well what they're doing. He has full acknowledgement that they're doing some wicked, badass shit, right? In Yah's holy place, in his tabernacle. Verse 25, if one man sin against another, the judge shall judge him. But if a man sin against Yahweh, who shall entreat him? Notwithstanding, they hearken not unto the voice of their father, because Yahweh would slay them. And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both of Yahweh and also with men. And there came a man of Yah. So Yah's, he's done with it. He's going to come and he's going to give some harsh correction and some brutal admonishment to Eli, right? Because not to the two sons, mind you, he's coming to the father, the ones in the state of the in the high priesthood, and the one that should be keeping the correction in the house. And said unto him, thus saith Yahweh, did I plainly appear unto the house of thy father when they were in Egypt in Pharaoh's house? And I did chose him out of all the tribes of Israel to be my priest. Of course, talking about Levi, to offer upon my altar to burn incense, to wear an ephod before. So here the man of Yah is reminding Eli of the purpose and the direction that Yah had given to the tribe of Levi in the service to him. And did give unto the house of thy father all the offerings made by fire of the children of Israel. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and mine offering. Remember, this is going to their father, right? This is going to Hophni and Phinehas, the two little wicked boys that Eli failed to bring that boom to them and actually put them, esteem them higher than the Most High, actually left them doing this corrupt crap. Wherefore kick ye at my sacrifice and my offering, which I have commanded in my habitation, and honorest thy sons above me, to make yourselves fat with the chiefs of all offerings of my people. Verse 30. Wherefore Yahweh the Elohim of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father shall walk before me forever. But now Yahweh saith. Okay, this was something he promised way back in to the tribe of Levi, the lineage of Levi, that they should walk before you as ever as priests of the Most High in his house, in his temple. Be it far from me, from them that honor me will I honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. So he's making division in the house of Levi here. Those that honor, he's continued to honor, but those that despise me, they got something coming. Behold, the day is come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house. Very, very important to take a look at this, because we have Eli, because he failed to do what he should have done, and he allowed his sons to operate in an evil manner. He did not bring chastisement. He did not bring correction. He put a few words out there, but he didn't take action. He should have removed their asses and had them put to death and showed his love for Yah greater than his own family. But he didn't. He esteemed his sons over that of the Most High. And the arm of thy father's house, that there shall not be an old man in thine house. So if you've known anybody in your life, that the people, the men in their family or the women, whatever, their family as a whole, more importantly, their sons, never make it to adult, a decent age. They get in their 30s and 40s and some tragedy befalls them. They may actually be suffering from a bloodline curse that has to do with Eli and the tribe of Levi. I actually knew a family like that. There was three brothers, right? They had three brothers and two sisters, and they lived right half a mile down the lake road from where I grew up. And every one in that family, the first brother died in his mid-40s, and then the second brother entered in his 40s, and then he died. And then the third brother, who I was friends with, was a couple years older as he was getting progressively older. He didn't even make it to 40. He died in his 30s. So all them sons were taken out tragically at a very young age. And it was a curse on that house. And it could have been this. But here it tells you explicitly that because of the deeds of this house of Eli and his failure to act in the duty, not only priest, but also as a father, this is the curse, perpetual curse, that came on his family line. There should not be an old man in thine house. And thou shalt see an enemy in my habitation, and all the wealth which Yahweh shall give Israel, and there shall not be an old man. There's going to be absolutely no prosperity at all in that house. Verse 33, and the man of thine whom I shall not cut off from my mouth, or shall be to consume thine eyes and to grieve thine heart, and all the increase of the house shall die in the flower of their age. I mean, they're actually going to destroy and bring that house to poverty, the ones that aren't going to get cut off immediately. Verse 34, and this shall be a sign unto thee, that thou shalt come upon thy two sons, to Hophni and to Phinehas, and one day they shall both die, both of them. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that. What Yah is all about, replacement theology. Because if you ain't going to cut it and he gives you that place of honor, he's definitely, there's 8.5 billion people on this planet right now, and he got no problems. So if anybody gets lifted up thinking they're not expendable, you better think that again. And I will raise, because he can put his spirit in anybody he chooses. And I will raise me up a faithful priest that shall do according to that which is in my heart and in my mind. Oh, sorry.
Oh, God.
Name and number, we're glad
to get back to you. Thank you, and
shalom.
Well, let's see.
Hello, Jerome. This is Ben Reynolds trying to get in touch with Elda Becker.
Hang on a minute.
He reached out at 907.
All right, glory to the King. Didn't expect that, but hey, that happens. Okay, where was I? They shall raise thee up in verse 35, that shall do according to that which is in mine heart and in my mind, and I will build him a sure house, and he shall walk before mine anointed forever. And it shall come to pass that every one that is left in thine house shall come and crouch to him for a piece of silver and a morsel of. Now they're going to become beggars. All this because Eli didn't do that, and he esteemed the wickedness of his son, didn't get them out of it, didn't make the appropriate corrections, didn't capitalize on their errors and remove them. All these curses are coming upon his house and his lineage after that. Beggars, early deaths. Morsel blood, and she'll say, put me, I pray thee, into the priest's office that I may eat a piece. They're going to be begging to get their position back. I mean, that kind of echoes what it said in the Proverbs, right? That Yah's going to mock them in their day of calamity. At the end, they're going to finally realize that, man, something's going on and something happened. I was an errand, but hey, it's too late now. So continuing on, 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 11 through 14. This should end it. 1 Samuel 3, 11 through 14. And Yahweh said unto Samuel, behold, I will do a thing in Israel at which both the ears of everyone heareth, it shall tingle. In that day I will perform against Eli all things which I have spoken concerning his house. When I began, I will also make an end. For I have told him that I will judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knoweth, because his sons made themselves vile and key. This is what the thing is. And he restrained them not. He allowed them continue. And therefore have I sworn unto the house of Eli, that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be purged with sacrifice nor offering forever. Wow, that's quite a statement. That is quite a statement right there. So that's something perpetually that can't be undone. The words of the Most High. Just because we had a man that was in Israel that did not love his Yah first and foremost, and did not love his sons, and they all became destroyed. They all came to ruin. And I believe Eli, yeah, he fell over on his stool or something, if I remember the story. But anyway, that concludes tonight's blog talk on chastisement. I hope that was able to bring some type of edification, learning, and instruction to you and all that were listening tonight. Again, I appreciate you all tuning in tonight. Yah willing, it'll be another, 4 weeks or something, 3 weeks. Form back behind this mic, but again, I would have you all to continue lift up our Shepherd Pastor Dowell in prayer continually, offer up, you know, supplications of prayer for him always, as we are very privileged to have such a righteous shepherd over us in Israel. And pray for one another, pray for the elders, pray for the leadership. We need it. If there's any one thing that's esteemed highest in Israel, is those that are behind the scenes crying out day and night for Israel. I mean, they may not be out in the forefront, but I'll tell you what, they're making a hell of an impact in the background. So if there's anything that you want to make a contribution to Israel, for the whole, for the betterment, for the word to come forth, get on your knees, pray, cry out, get a closer walk with the Most High. But anyway, hey, bless you all. Y'all have a great week. Be sober, be watching, And, you know, because your adversary, the devil, he's going about seeking who he may devour. All right. Bless y'all. Love y'all, Israel. Shalom. Good night.